They broke through police lines. They assaulted police officers. There was vandalism of our nation's capital. But there was also, those charges were mounted against the 1,350 January 6 defendants, but there was also another one, obstructing an official proceeding. And that one is drawing scrutiny at the U.S. Supreme Court, begging the question, does protesting, does disruption equal obstruction? Joining us live this morning are the former U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Michigan, now leader of investigations in white-collar defense and Huntington Law, Matthew Schneider. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Guy. Thank you for having me back.
This affects 350 people already convicted. It added to their sentences. So it has the, and it's also, former President Trump is also facing this obstruction charge. So the consequences of this are considerable. But basically, is that the question? When does disruption equal obstruction?
Yes, it is. And the justices had some really good questions about this. And it's not just about Joseph Fisher, the person involved in this case. He's a person who went into the Capitol on January 6th. He did that apparently to stop the counting of the electoral votes. As you correctly recognize, he's not the only person who went there. And a lot of people were charged with obstructing an official proceeding. The question for the justices is really, well, what is obstructing an official proceeding? What kind of proceeding? Isn't this a little broad or vague? And there were a lot of very good questions from the justices to counsel on both sides on this very issue.
Well, Matt, considering the ongoing legal challenges related to the Capitol attack, I mean, how might the court's ruling in Fisher's case set a precedent for future prosecutions, including those involving Donald Trump?
Well, it certainly would be a victory for free speech if people are advocating for that because of the statute. The justices did ask a lot of questions related to people in the future who might be advocating for free speech. For example, hecklers at a courtroom, if you just stand up and you interrupt the proceedings, is that the obstruction of an official proceeding? Or, you know, there was a congressman who pulled the fire alarm to prevent from some votes in Congress. Is that the obstruction of an official proceeding? So it would affect all of those people. And of course, President Trump is charged with many offenses, but he's also charged with this exact same offense, and it could have an impact on him as well.
Samuel Alito is saying what happened on January 6th was very serious, but this just might be a little too overreaching. I mean, there's protests within the Supreme Court's courtroom. There are protests all over the country.
Correct. And there's also arguments that you've never enforced this law before, but you're doing it now in these certain circumstances. I don't think that's the best argument against this statute, because there's often times when the federal government brings cases that they haven't brought before. It's really the spillover effect. And when you lay over that, the fact that when Supreme Court justices are looking at cases involving criminal defendants, they apply a certain rule. It's called the rule of lenity, which means if you're a criminal defendant, the burden is already on the government, the huge burden of proof. So we read these laws more in your favor because the odds are already against you. So that's something that is really in the favor of the defendant in this case, and it's a more of an uphill battle for the Justice Department.
Well, the justices were kept repeating that this is a 20-year felony. We should point out that nobody stemming for the January 6th incident got 20 years under this statute. It was 10 to 16 months on average for violent offenders that engaged in assaults, 6 to 12 months for the nonviolent offenders. And but for those, I mean, that could be a serious sentence reduction. We should also just kind of highlight the origin of this statute, Matthew. This originally came out of the Enron scandal. I'm not sure how those two things equate.
Well, it's because the defendant here is saying the purpose of this law is from that, and it's really only to prevent witness tampering of evidence. And that is
right.
What took place in Enron. And
documents.
Joseph Fisher, yes, he's saying, I didn't do anything like that. I didn't touch these documents. I didn't tamper with those types of things. So therefore, this law doesn't apply to me. And that's his argument. Of course, I think the Justice Department could say, well, no matter what happens here, this law still applies to President Trump. Remember, he's been charged as well with obstruction of an official proceeding. But if you read that indictment closely, it's the official proceeding regarding the fake electors, not necessarily entering the Capitol. So the Justice Department, I think, would have a different argument, and they would say, no matter what happens here, our charges against Trump should still stand.
Matthew, just quickly, Trump's case in New York, the the hush money case, they're calling it, seven jurors seated so far. What are your thoughts about the jurors themselves and how quickly it started to move?
How did an attorney get on that
Two
jury?
Two attorneys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have never done that myself. I can tell you, attorneys think they're smarter than everybody else, and they're not. So I always remove them from juries, but anything can happen in a jury selection case. We're halfway done. Hopefully these people are really reflective of people who will set aside the election that's coming up, set aside those parties involved, and really only look at the facts and the evidence in this case. It's moving along very fast. As I said at the beginning, this will probably take either between 2 days, 2 weeks, and now we're a little closer to that 2 days side. The court is not in session today, but they'll be back. We could potentially have a jury sat by the end of this week.
All right. And then opening arguments.
Maybe Monday.
It's already has a kind of a circus atmosphere about it. Matthew Schneider, thank you so much. We will await the Supreme Court ruling on this obstruction statute and see where it goes.
Sounds good. We will all be paying attention. It's going to be very interesting legally in the entire summer about Donald Trump.
Yeah, it is. A lot of ripples there. Take care, Matthew. When we come back, a big day for Ford Motor Company. This is the 60th anniversary of the birth of the Mustang, the original pony car. There's some embargoes there, so we can't show you what it looks like yet, but we'll be tweeting some stuff out. I can just tell you, you'll like it. It's cool. And I want one.
That's what I was waiting for. I was waiting for you to say that.
Yeah. There's not a lot of pony in this. There's more muscle than pony. So we'll, and I can't say anything else, but we'll show it to you. We'll also be talking to the Ford brand manager coming up at 7:19 when that super secret, double secret probation embargo comes off. That, the headlines of the day, and much more when we come back.